Okay, Rabosa. We are up to if dot. They're all good ones. Okay, we're up to Sif Dalet, Rabosai. Says the Mechaber, this is something which is not found in Shas. How about human milk? So human milk is totally kosher. Totally kosher l'mahadrin. Okay, the Gemara says that someone who's not a baby is not allowed to nurse human milk directly, because that's not tznius, but it's perfectly kosher to drink from a cup. So also levashel, but nonetheless, also levashel b'cholam ishav and maris ayin, even though it's not even bus b'cholam drabanan, it's still maris ayin, right? The we had maris ayin in the Ramah, but here we have maris ayin b'chaber. To cook meat, cook meatballs in human milk is also only alavash maris ayin. What's an afkamina and nafal to a tafshel batam and sarshir? If human milk fell into your chicken soup or your cholent, etc., b'di'eved, then you don't need 60 to bottle it. It's bottle even if it's more than a 60th. Why? Because it's maris ayin to like see you pouring it, mixing it together. Once, well, why is a bit of a machlokas between the Taz and everyone else in the world, including especially the Rabbi Akiva Eger. In his commentary, I have the Sifkat Vav, but you would probably have it as the Rabbi Akiva Eger on the Taz Sifkat Dalet. Why in Nafa Latocha Tafshel Batel for any sort of shear, right? In Nafa Latocha Tafshel Batel for any sort of shear, says the Taz. Because maris ayin is mutter b'di'eved, is mutter if you're stuck. I shouldn't say b'di'eved. Maris ayin is mutter if you're stuck. And then he comes out with a big kula that no one in the world agrees with, that if you have your chicken with almond milk, like in the last seif, and you don't have any almonds, you can eat it anyway, because if you're stuck, you don't be makbid on maris ayin. That's a big finish, that if you're stuck, maris ayin is mutter. Says the Taz. Why? Taz. That Maris Ha'ayin is Mutter Hecha D'E'efshar. What's his phrase? I'll give you his phrase. Ein Lesser Achiva. Ein Osrim Achiva. If you name maris ayin. Like once you have a food, you're never going to ask for eating it for maris ayin. It's not worth throwing out a food for maris ayin. Maris ayin is only if like you don't go throw out a food. But eating a food is doche maris ayin. So all you have is chicken, you know, chicken lasagna, as it were, made with almond milk. And you don't have any almonds around, you can eat it anyway. Everyone else says no. Says theoretically, it's even also to eat a food from our sign. You even have to throw out a food from our sign. The reason here it's bottled is because physically there is no Maris Ayin. Really, it's Maris Ha'ayin, but we'll call it Maris Ayin. Because nowadays, after it gets mixed in. After all, what are we talking about falling into a tafshil? If a little human milk falls into your cholent, you can't tell that there's milk there. It just makes a lighter cholent. If a little human milk falls into your chicken soup, you can't tell that there's milk there. It just makes a lighter chicken soup. It's not like there's a piece of cheese there or that it's all milk. And the heter here is a double question. It's not a fish at all. You can't pour human milk into your chicken soup or into your cholent, into your beef stew, lechatchila, because of maris ayin. But if it already fell in, even though it looks a little lighter, it's not obvious there's milk there, so there's no more maris ayin. Okay, we don't pass. We reject the toss. We paskin like all the other poskim, and Rabbi Akiva Eger especially goes to count on him, but so does everyone else. Okay, yes.
Rabbi?
So Rabbi Akiva Eger here says, he quotes a shach in the sugya of, remember, the fish blood, who says that if you do it, l'chachila, we make a knas, and then you can't drink it. Correct. Rabbi Akiva Eger thinks it's a knas for someone who been mazed violates Maris Ayin.
Leon. Abby? I think Noah Marlowe's in the waiting room, if everybody's not letting him in.
Oh, no. Okay, I have to figure out how to get rid of the waiting room. Leon, can you let him in?
I can't. I have to be host, Rebby. Oh, I see him. I can let him in.
I made you a co-host.
Oh, I just let him in. I just let him in.
Thank you. Okay, if anyone else comes, I guess let him in also. Sorry. I'm not as...
For sure.
You understand that my age and your age, you're better at technology. I'd like to hope I know a little more Torah by my age compared to your age, but you're definitely no more technology.
I'd be inclined to agree with the Torah point, Rebby.
Okay. So, says the Ramah here. At the Ramah, the Nira Lefisa, now he has a Stira. What's the Stira that the Ramah dealt with? We just said there's Maris Ayin even for Mutter kind of milk. Bechor, there's also Maris Ayin for Mutter kind of meat. Right? This book. What is the Maris Ayin Mutter kind of milk? A, the Ramah already said almond milk is Maris Ayin, even though there's no Isra at all. And human milk is Maris Ayin, even though there's no Isra at all. So hold on a second. If these things are Maris Ayin, then how about pork, right? How about pork or pig milk? Those should also have Maris Ayin. What should the Isra Maris Ayin be? Not eating them, you wouldn't eat them anyway, but cooking them. So here is the stira. I mean, it's a stira l'chor, right? You can answer by just denying the premise. But let's see how people resolve this stira. We have a stira between, here we have basar tamei plus chalav tahora, or chalav tamei plus basar, chalav tamei of tahor, and here we have chalav isha, obviously, plus basar, right? Chalav isha without basar is no problem. What do we say here? Here it's a rashba, it's not a gemara. Here it's a rashba. Says the Rashba, and that's the Shulchan Aruch, Aser Mishum Maris Ha'ayin. By the way, the post can point out that in what way Maris Ha'ayin is more kal than a regular Sidrabanan, the Pirta says, you can eat if you're stuck. You wouldn't have to throw out foods in Maris Ha'ayin. We don't agree with him, but everyone says, like, for Refua, you can't eat Darabanan trade foods for Refua, you know, if you're not in danger, but you can violate Maris Ha'ayin. Okay, but here says the Mishnah, and the Gemara and the postman and everyone else. Mutter levashel. Obviously, we're not talking about eating, fast shalom pig. But what about Maris Ayin? If I cook pork in milk, it looks like cooking beef in milk. Just as much as human milk, right? If the wrong species is Maris Ayin, the wrong species is Maris Ayin. These are both the wrong species, or the right species, whatever you call it, right? So this is the famous stira. What's the answer? Ramah of this stira answers the Ramah, Venera lefizek, kol shekein to osu levashel, and achilu b'chol of tomeo, osur. Okay, the part about oath, we already know from the Ramah that he says is no problem. Because he thinks oath is drabbanan and there's no Maris Ayin. So to cook oath in pig milk, he thinks is no Maris Ayin, and then we would disagree and say in public it is Maris Ayin. But what's the Ramah's answer? The Ramah's answer is when the Mishnah says mutter, it didn't mean mutter. It just means mutter from Isra Bas Bechalav, but also Mishnah Maris Ayin. He says, mutter mi din basar bechalav, asur Mishnah Maris Ayin. And likewise, he's mechanish something with that. It seems to be against Pshat in the Mishnah. When it said mutter, it just meant mutter mi din basar bechalav, but asur Mishnah Maris Ayin. Okay, that's the Chiddush of Ramah. When we matured the pork, etc., in cooking, it's still Aser Mishum Maris Ayin. That's the Ramah. However, some of the Achronim want to say that no, maybe that's a Chiddush, because you're basically saying that the Mishnah says Mutter is really Aser for a different reason. That's a Chiddush, it's Dochum. So are there other possible answers? So I'll just run through some of the notes I can give. Other answers. What are some other answers? So the Shaf gives two answers. First he says, like Ramah. Then he says, I can give an answer. This is talking about Achila. And Maris Ayin is Shayach in Achila. And this is talking about Bishol. Maris Ayin is not Shayach in Bishol. Only eating has an Isra Maris Ayin. And what's he saying here? He's saying that when the Mechaber said, Osul Vashul Cholam Isha, he didn't literally mean a cluster. He meant it's also to cook and then eat it. eating is also Nishamah Rasayim. Right? It's also to cook and then eat it. But cooking without eating, meaning what I mean here is Bishol. Shelo Achila. Cooking without eating, or let me be more specific, Bishol Bli Achila. There's no Isser Marzai. And that's why, since it's pork and pig milk, you can't eat it anyway. It's only child of cooking, there's no Marzai. Okay, it's a little unclear what his svara is. Says, why is it a Marzai and Bishol? Ah, it could be that you're cooking for food or something else and not for eating. It's a little unclear what he means by this. Everyone struggles to figure out what he means by this. Yeah? Or maybe you're going to make a medicine out of it, although that doesn't really necessarily tell you. You're not necessarily medicine you eat. Maybe you're just making a salve or something. Okay, or you're going to do something, whether you're going to smear it on you or whatever. You can do something that's not a chila. Right. It's a little unclear, like, why is that making a harzayin? After all, bishul is usher whether you're going to eat it or not. So, what do you mean? It's not harzayin because it looks like you're cooking for food. Cooking for food is also usher. So it's a little unclear. The Rav quoted his father a tremendous chiddush that the Isser based on the Rambam that we saw a year ago, the Isser Bishul is only if you cook something that's good for eating. Like to prepare for eating. Whether you plan to eat it or not, that's an Isser Bishul. But if you cook something that's not intended for eating, that's not an Isser Bishul. Apparently, the Rav's father once bothered someone in chemistry lab to do a chemistry experiment, which involved cooking meat and milk in the Bunsen burner to test the something or other, who says that's not before. If so, then his raya is the shot. Shah says that it's not Bishul, it's not Marzayim, because it doesn't look like you're cooking. It just looks like you're cooking for some other purpose, implying that some other purpose is not usher at all. So it doesn't look like something usher. It's a big chiddush, but does seem to have a raya from the shah, even though I don't know if I'd rely on this myself.
How does the shah say that?
No, the shah's arguing with the Ramah. Shah's arguing with the Ramah. This is all arguing with the Ramah. And saying that taka it's mutter, right? Meaning, the Ramah says it's really usser. And everyone else says it's real. All the other and say it's really mutter. Come on, take the Mishnah Kipshuto. It's really mutter. If it's really mutter, why not Marzayim? Maybe Marzayim is only in eating. There's no Marzayim in cooking. Even though his explanation is a little funny why there's not Marzayim in cooking, he says to cook it, you're cooking for another purpose. Implying that it doesn't look like. And it looks like cooking for another purpose, implying that cooking for another purpose is mutter, which is tremendous chiddush. Maybe. The second answer of the shach, I'll just go briefly. The second answer of the shach says that, here the shach says that he says, Chalav Isha looks like Chalav Behema Tahora. Human milk looks like cow milk, right? Anyone ever have a baby and you pump them, whatever. It sort of looks the same as regular milk you buy in the supermarket. However, and here I haven't done the experiment, so I'm taking his word for it. I mean, he gets it from Jonah, et cetera. I never checked myself to see what pig milk looks like. But what does he say? He says, no. He says, basar or chalav of a temeya doesn't look like basar or chalav of a tahora, meaning pork doesn't look like beef, so there's no marzayin. And pig milk doesn't look like cow milk, so there's no marzayin. Okay, again, he has a marker for this, unfortunately, more that it's a different color. Okay, so we trust the Gemara that pork milk, pig milk is greener, and cow milk is whiter, and it's not just pigs versus cows. It's all, you know, sort of ruminants versus non-ruminants, and, you know, that way you work out at least, you know, let's assume it works out. Okay, in which case, there's really no Marzayim here because it doesn't look the same. How can there be Marzayim if it looks different? There's only Marzayim with Chalav Isha, which looks the same. The Taz gives a different answer. He doesn't clarify exactly what he means, although I think I know. Here he says that it is kosher, and here it's non-kosher. So he says, you're starting something kosher, starting something non-kosher. If you're starting something non-kosher, what did I just say? Sorry, did I just said something backwards here. See, He says there's no maris ayin if you're starting with something non-kosher. What he means by that is a little unclear. He doesn't explain, but I think it makes sense to me. If you take kosher food and it looks like basar b'chalav, it's going to look like you're mixing basar b'chalav. If you take trade food, then you treat it differently from kosher food. If you would tell my wife, prepare this kosher food, she would prepare it like all other kosher food, and it would look like basar b'chalav. But if you would tell her, prepare this trade food, Lamaisa, she would be very different. She would be using different kalim and be very careful and have a different look on her face and treat it differently. Maybe the point is, when you're working with trade food, you look different than if you're working with kosher food, and that's not maris ayin. Yeah, sure, that's what the Taz means. The Mate Yehona son, who's in the small print or the back here someplace, I think in the Tzuras Hadaf version, he is in the side. In some of the other versions, he's in the back. That's what Yehona son Ayishitz. I think it's from the margin of the Gemara, not the main Pirush. Anyway, he has another point. He says when it comes to Maris Ayin, it's not automatically everything's also Maris Ayin. Only Milsit the Shchicha Gazer Gibber, but only common things. So he says, this is Milsit the Shchicha. Why is it Milsit the Shchicha? Because it's kosher. Meaning, it comes back to the fact that it's kosher. But it's Milsit the Shchicha. After all, if you were allowed to mix human milk with meat, people would do it all the time because they can make cool things. But pork and milk or pig milk and meat is never going to be shchicha because you can't eat it anyway. So like, why would you do it for a goy, for your dog, etc.? It's very rare that you would do it. And therefore, what he says is, milsa, de lo shchicha, lo gosrube, rabbanan. Okay, so there are lots of answers to defend the pshat of the Mishnah. This is defending the pshat of the Mishnah. As most of the Ramah, who says, nope, we don't pass like pshat of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says mutter really means usher. How can that be? It means mutter out was becholah, but along this Mishnah. But usher, for a different reason, out maris ayin. Okay, how do we paskin? Even though there are many explanations that seem to have the pshat pshat of a Mishnah behind them, the Achronim are machmer like the Ramah. Why? For two reasons. A, the authority of Ramah. And B, Rabbi Yehuda actually points out that he actually found the Shohar Rashba, who says like the Ramah. The problem will start with the Rashba. How do we answer this mission with the Rashba? The Rashba himself said like the Ramah. I don't think the Ramah knew that. Right? The Ramah didn't know that. As a matter of fact, what do the parentheses say in the Ramah? Exactly. Dalad Ayin is not a Rishon or an Achron. It's Das Atma. But if Mechavim, it really is a Shohar Rashba. So if the Rashba himself really held that, and Ramah said that, halacha l'maisa, we paskin, we're machmir like the Ramah, the Chachmas Adam is machmir, the Aruch HaShulchan is machmir, or at least says he's not comfortable being mekel. L'maisa, we're machmir like the Ramah, that you cannot cook pork with milk or beef with pig milk because of Maris Ayin. The Yisur Maris Ayin applies even to trace species and even to cooking against all of these answers in the Achronim. How far do we take this Ramah? Would we also say it's also to be nana from it because of Maris Ayin? Does the Isra Maris Ayin apply to Hana'a? So here, interestingly, the Badia Shulchan wants to lean towards the Machmir, but I think we could be Mekel, because the Ramah in the beginning of this Sif says, all bas b'cholav, that's not also awesome, Torah is mutzah ba'anah. We need a technical reason why he didn't say Mishnah there. But he didn't give a cloud. Everything that's not the rice is mutzah ba'anah. Why is it usher because of Maris Ayin? So it could be it is, and he just didn't bother to tell us. Or it could be the usher Maris Ayin is only for Bishul and Achila. Bishul and Achila are things that are very, very noticeable and that are very, defined actions. Hana, which is a very broad category, is not always so noticeable when you're nana and what you're nana from. Maybe they were gozer. Nirlan is daiti, it's enough to be machmir, like the Ramah about Bishul, and we don't also have to be machmir about Hana. It's enough to be machmir what the Ramah says. He doesn't say.
Sneefim Lahakel.
What?
What would be other Sneefim Lahakel for this issue specifically?
I mean, did I say Sneefim Lahakel?
No, I added that. Is there anything else that we could be Mitzdarif?
Ah, meaning to be Matur Bishel even and be Somech on the Achronim.
Yeah.
It's a good question. I'm not sure. This seems to be, you know, when it comes to Maris Ayin, there's usually only one factor involved. Does it look bad? Does it not look bad? Usually doesn't depend on many factors because matter of how it looks, so I'm not sure of him. Lemaisa, I would be Machmir Shemaris Ayin like the Ramah. Don't cook anything that could look like Basar B'Chalav, even if it's totally mutter to cook. But I would be making Lehanah because the Ramah wasn't Machmir Hanah, and the Ramah at the beginning of the Simon gave a general heter of Hanah, so let's not mess with it. The Taz has a crazy Chomer here, which has nothing to do with Ramah. Let me just end with this point about Oath. Ramah says something at Oath. Oath ain't Lahakir. What do we mean? What he means is the Oath drop on an Ein Lachush. What about Oath plus Chalav Tameya? Oath plus Chalav Tameya. Eating Oath plus Chalav Tameya, or Bishal Oath plus, let's say eating Oath plus Chalav Tameya. So what about Oath? What about eating Oaf plus Chalav Tameya? Eating Oaf plus Chalav Tameya, so we would say is, Ramah says there's no Isser Maris Ayin, because it's only Drabbanan. Worst comes to worst, it'll look like Oaf and chicken and cow milk. But we say, remember all the other posts can reject him and say, Asser Mishom Maris Ayin, even though it only looks like an Isser Drabbanan, it looks like you're having Oaf with regular milk. That's still Asser. What about cooking Oaf plus, what about cooking Oaf plus Chalav Tameya? Second case, Oaf plus Chalav Tameya cooking, right? So that is the discussion of the... One second, where was this? Viber Hatev. Where is this? Yeah, Ulanirus Daiti. The Viber Hatev rarely is, do you need to look at him? So usually summarize the Shach and the Taz. Here he says Ulanirus Daiti. He says his own opinion. And one of the things he says, which is acceptable, and hopefully it makes sense, says the Ber Hatev. He says that is no Isser Maris Ayin. Why is there no Isser Maris Ayin in cooking Oaf with Chalav Tameya without eating? Cooking without eating. Again, why you'd want to do this? I don't know. You're your dog. He says because even if someone made a mistake, it wouldn't look Usser. What if they thought it was beef? Well, beef in pig milk is mutter to cook. What if they thought it was cow milk? Chicken and cow milk is mutter to cook. To be Maris Ayin, they have to make two mistakes. They think the chicken is meat, and they think that the pig milk is cow milk. That's highly unlikely. That's exceedingly unlikely. That's exceedingly unlikely. So since that's, well, one second. Since that's exceedingly unlikely, because you would have to make two mistakes. That's exceedingly unlikely because you would have to make two mistakes. The truth is that that's not Pashup Shot, and maybe I should have gone backwards. That's not Pashup Shot in the Ramah. Pashup Shot in the Ramah, as he says, the Oaf, Drabon and Ein Lachush, even in eating. But, let me take a step back, says the Taz at the end of Sukkot Hey, and then I'll take the question. Sorry, if anyone raised their hand and I don't see you on the screen, just shout. Don't press the little raise hand button, so I didn't see your hand, I'm not going to see the little raise hand button. He says, how about cooking Oaf in Cooking oven milk. Hello. How about cooking oaf and milk? Whoa. Okay. How about, let's take it back a second. How about cooking oaf and milk?
I need a zoom.
Okay. Okay, tada. Shabbat shalom. Yes. Okay. I think the last person who had something like this was Eichmann. Sorry, you didn't see. It's like a whole box. Anyway, Lemaisa, the Taz brings up the issue of whether it goes there b'chlal an oaf. After all, oaf doesn't look like basar. After all, if you see a pulki, you know it's not beef. Where's the marzayim? How can a pulki look like beef? So l'chora, here we're talking about, and even though the Taz always wants to be very machmir an oaf, because he's afraid people become karaites and start eating chicken and all. But the pashtus is, he's machalik between if it's ground up or not. The pashtus is, this is talking about, I would say processed oaf. Processed oaf. Then at least it's shayach to make a mistake in Maris Ayin. Right? So let's say you ate processed oaf in Chol of Tmeya. Processed oaf, it's a lishaya. But what about whole oaf? What about a pulki or a whole chicken or something? A pulki or a whole chicken, if you only cook it and don't eat it, then how could there possibly be marzayim? After all, you're allowed to cook chicken in milk. You're just not allowed to eat it. So it seems to be, and this is sort of what comes out of the Taz. The Taz is, after all, sometimes oaf could look like, when it's ground up into a hamburger or a hot dog, oaf could look like beef. But if you have a case of a whole oaf plus chalav, regular chalav, cooking without eating, it would seem that nira she'ein iser maris ayin klal. Why? Because it's, how could anyone possibly think you're cooking beef in milk? It is. It's a pulki. It looks like a chicken. It doesn't look like beef. So l'chora, even though the Taz is lashon is not so clear, he says sometimes it's ground up and it's a hamburger. L'chora, if it's a whole chicken cooking in milk, we don't have to be machmir from ours. I mean, because you're allowed to cook chicken in milk, and it doesn't look like beef. If you're cooking hot dogs or hamburgers of chicken with milk, even if you're not eating them, then we should be machmir from ours.
That sounds like the bear hitiv would also be from ours for process.
Yeah, I want to make that akin to the bear hitiv.
What's the relationship between this Ber-Hetiv and what we said before about Chalav Shechid and
Oaf? The Ber-Hetiv is using that to answer the Kash. Remember, someone asked at the end, maybe after the recording end, he has a different answer. How come the Ramah was Mekel by Rabbanan? Said the Ramah didn't really need to be Mekel by Rabbanan. He meant to be Mekel by cooking without eating, because for cooking to be Aser, you'd have to think that the Chalav Shechid was Chalav and think that the Oaf was beef, and you have to make two mistakes, and no one's going to make two mistakes. So he had a totally different shot in that earlier Rama.
For the shot for two.
Yeah.
And the Rama, we still have Marzai.
No, Lachori, he would admit that if it would take two mistakes, you wouldn't have Marzai. Meaning he's saying that the Rama never meant to be Makel and Rabbanan from Marzai. He just meant to be Makel in case it would take two mistakes to think that it was Aser. Which is not shot in the Ramah, which is why I didn't love it. Okay, Lemaisa, all these details, maybe we're getting into too many details, we should move on, but I'll take a question. The Taz is, no, the Ramah is saying it's much easier than Ramah, right? The Ramah is this heter that the Ramah is talking about, oaf with chol of tomato. And the Ramah says, he's talking about this case, oaf with chol of tomato, and eating it, l'chora. Korah is talking about eating it. Again, not the Berhitim. Mechora. No, eat it. Oh. No, Chol Isha I meant. Sorry, silly me. Well, now I understand why I confused you. What?
Isn't there a man in the context of Chol Tmeh, though? He's talking about Basar, Chol Tmeh, and Basar Tar, or Basar Tmeh, and Chol Tar. And then he said, the Dapa wants to make him back, but what about the Lavish?
The truth is that then you'd have to be against the Berhitim, right? Meaning if you want to make that Tikkun Olam, you'd be against the Berhitim. You'd have to say that we're not, what? Correct. So let's just review. There are two ways to read this Ramah. The standard way of reading the Ramah is that he's talking about eating. I think it depends what you hold with the Berhitim. Okay, well, I will summarize like this, and then we'll go on. The question of what about a case where it would take two mistakes to think something was usser, like cooking Oph with Chalav Tmeya, or cooking Oph with Chalav Isha. The Berhitim thinks that Ramah means to be matter. You're saying that you're saying that's not a heter. The Ramah is only made though because he doesn't believe in Mars. No, either way. Either way, the Ramah says there's no problem if it looks like, if it's Maris Ayin that looks like a Drabana. Okay. Isaac?
Yes.
I think you're going to have to, I think you're going to have to take a picture of the board. Okay, can you do that?
Yeah.
And then we'll sort this out. And then we'll go by turn. Okay.
Okay.
No. Okay. Great. Amazing. Sorry. Let's get back to Oph. Okay. What about Maris Ayin with Oph? The problem with Maris Ayin with Oph, Binyamin, is that it's always complicated. Does it look like you're doing something? Is the problem it looks like you're doing something wrong with the Oph, or the problem that the Oph looks like a cow? You know what I mean? So, how about Maris Ayin? The simple shot is going on Maris Ayin of Oph per se, right? The simple shot is what about Maris Ayin? What are we talking about? Oh, Maris Ayin Shell Isser Drabanan. Now, you tell me what's the only case of Maris Ayin and Isser Drabanan is if you eat Basar Oaf plus Cholov Shkedim, or if you eat Basar Oaf plus Cholov Isha. You can't have a case of Cholov Tameya which is going to look like an Isidra Bunny, because if you eat it, it actually is an Isidra Raisa, because it's pig. And if you don't eat it, then it doesn't look like anything. So that's why I want to be the Ramah different than you and say this line is going back on Chol Isha. Right? This is the Pashtus of the Ramah in Sif Gimel, and Pashtus of the Ramah in Sif Dalet. And then he's going back to Chol Isha, because you have to find a case where it looks like an Issa Drabanan. Right? Because you want to unite these two Ramahs. And therefore you say, here's to my Chol Isha, not Tmeya. Correct. And then here you have, this is the Machlokas between the Ramah, who says there's no Maris Ayin when it looks like a Drabanan, and the other poskim who say there is Maris Ayin. Okay? What the Berhitim and the Taz brings up, and the Berhitim is complicated just because he changed the way we read everything else until now, is what about Maris Ayin of an Isser D'Oraisa? How can it be Maris Ayin of Isser D'Oraisa if the Oaf looks like Busser, right? If the Oaf looks like Busser, then maybe it could be a Maris Ayin of. So, for example, what if you have, this is the Taz's case. It says the Taz, right, Bishel or Achila of Oph, Bechalav Tahora. You cook, sorry, that's not what I meant. I meant Bishel of Oph, Bechalav Tahora. Right, without eating, just cooking, right? Without eating. milk and you don't eat it. Is that a problem, Maris Ayin? Or is it not a problem, Maris Ayin? What's the problem, Maris Ayin? Not that it looks like a drop on it. That it looks like if the oaf is mistaken for beef, then you'd be doing it as a garisa. This is mistaking the oaf for beef. Here we're not talking about mistaking the oaf. Here, the simple shot is, says the Taz, Aser Mishum Maris Ayin, and that's a tremendous chiddush. Why? Because chicken doesn't look like meat. It's a pulpy. A pulpy doesn't look like it came from a cow. Or a wing, or any part of the chicken doesn't look like it came from the cow. Right? So why would it possibly look bad? And he said, what? So he says, what's the problem? The problem is, first of all, he's very nervous. You don't want to become a Karaite and start messing with chicken and milk, and you'll think it's mucker than a Karaite and think it's mucker than a guy, right? Which, we don't really find zeros like that. But he and Marshall agree nervous about this. And then he finds an excuse to ask her. He says, well, if it was turned into a hot dog or a hamburger, then it would look like beef. So, nere lasar rak de basar tachon bechuli. If it's a chicken hamburger or a chicken hot dog, then it makes a lot of sense. It could look like beef. But if it's a piece of chicken, right? Hello, the oaf, the en, it's urasso. The Taz sounds like he wants to say, well, aser all chicken and milk, because sometimes it might be ground up. That seems to be going very far. Pashbis, you should only agree with this Taz. If it's ground up, then take it could look like you're cooking. If you're chopped meat, you make a lasagna, chopped meat, chicken and milk to feed a guy, but you're cooking it, it looks like you're cooking beef and milk. That would be Maris Ayin of Nesha Doraisa. Okay, but if you're making a pulki to feed a guy and you're cooking it with milk, how does it look like Nesha Doraisa? Everyone sees you're cooking chicken and milk, you're not cooking beef and milk. Not with double. So I wouldn't worry about that. And then what the very hate tape says, he adds to the Taz, says the Ber Heitev, and then he wants to go back and reread all the Ramahs, that this is really what the Ramah meant, unlike what we say until now. And now don't try to get the Ber Heitev to work with anything we said until now, because his whole point is he's reinterpreting all the Ramahs until now. He says that, but even in this case, you know, Bishol, Bisar Ov, Bechol of Temeya, without eating, is mutter because there's no Maris Ayin if it would take two mistakes. This is a nice cloud. He says, whenever it would take two mistakes, meaning to think you were doing this in a raisa, you'd have to think the oaf was bakar, and you didn't call it half to think you called it to me, it was called it to hora. No, we all kosher someone made two mistakes. And therefore, there's no answer to Maris Ayin here. And then he goes back and says, that's really what the Ramah meant all along, different than what everyone thought until now. Okay, can leave that. But this is his principle. Okay, now if there's no questions, we will go weiter. Okay, yes, Yoni. He doesn't say. Whatever we think about in general will apply to him. He doesn't say.
What was the case of the Ber Heitev? It's different from the Taz.
He's not disagreeing with this part of the Taz. He's not disagreeing with the Taz that's on this board. He's not disagreeing with the Taz that's on the board.
I see the word and then I see the word.
No, but it's two different cases. This is one case, and this is a different case.
Okay.
If there's no other questions, if there are questions, absolutely. If not, ready to go on. Anyone wants to be a foul pull in this morgue, of course, ask me questions anytime. Let's go to Sif Hey then and give it to Ed.
We're saying yes. the Ber Heitev would also agree with the Taz in the uppercase on the board? Or everyone, really?
This?
Yeah.
He would agree with the Taz on this. You know, whether you agree with the more macro formulation of the Taz or whether he would agree with our, more modest formulation of the Taz, I'm not sure. But he definitely starts with the Taz. And then he says, but in this other case is different. But I prefer to say the Taz really was only committed to Asering if it's chopped meat, and the Ber Heitev is only Asering with chopped meat, because otherwise I think it's a little ridiculous to think someone's going to think a pokey came from a cow. But, you know, that's what I'd like to think. I can't promise you. Maybe they would think, someone might even think a book would take from a cow. How strange that is. Okay, Sif, hey, we're going to have to be Mikatsar. There's a big sugya in Beitza about the status of eggs. What do you mean the status of eggs? Status of eggs that are found inside a shechted hen. What if you find eggs in a shechted hen? What if you find eggs in a shechted hen? Are they fleshik or parif? Once they're laid, they're parif. Before they're formed, they're just part of the hen's body. They're egg cells. So inside the body, when they're already made into eggs, are they fleshik or parif? Or better yet, at what stage do they become parif? So this is the machlokas tanoim. The chachamim say that it's when they're gemuros. And Rabbi Yaakov says it depends if they're mu'ura begidim. The Beis Yosef here confuses everyone. The Achronim go to town on him. Because the machlok is what Me'ura Begidin means. You got this word, right? Did you get this word? No, please. So the Beis Yosef says maybe Me'ura Begidin means there are red streaks on the on the yolk of the egg. And that's what means Me'ura Begidin. But everyone else says Me'ura Begidin means it's still attached to the ovary. The eshkol. Eshkol is a cluster of eggs, which I assume are attached to the ovary somehow. I'm not a bucky and in chicken physiology. But how do we pass it? So here we have the machlokas tanoim. When is an egg parish? The chachamim say when it is gemura, it's parish. Right? When it's gemura, it's parif. Rabbi Yaakov says when it is no longer me'ura begidin. What is no longer me'ura begidin means? So the Beis Yosef thinks that Rashi thinks. He doesn't think that everyone thinks. But the Beis Yosef suggests me'ura begidin means. Red streaks of like blood vessels on the yolk. That's what Me'ur Begidin means. I think it's on the yolk, pretty sure. That's what he suggests, but most poskim say. Yeah, I mean, it's complicated. Most of them say no, it means attached to the ovary, right? The eshkol, right? When it's attached to the eshkol, the eshkol is a cluster of eggs that comes from the ovary again. I'm not sure exactly what it's supposed to look like. In which case, we say, when is it pariv? It's pariv when it's nifrash min ha-eshkol, right? When it comes off the ovary, that's when it becomes parif. Okay, so now, of course, if it's gemuros, what does gemuros mean? Right? When is it gemuros? Is it finished? When is it finished? So here we have many different pirushim. Rashi and the Rush say the chelmon is finished, when the yolk is finished, even if there's no albumin, there's no white. The Rashba says, chelmon, vechelmon. If the white and the yellow are finished, well, it's not finished. There's no shell. The Orchas Chaim, here he quotes a sort of a Yesh Omrim, says, chelmon, vechelmon, and a kliparaka. You know, if you're peeling an egg under the hard shell, there's a thin peel. The thin peel has to be finished for it to be considered finished. And the Rashbam, very machmir, says the Rashbam, nope. It means chelmon, chelbon, of course, and the klipa kasha. Meaning it has to be mamish ready to be laid with the shell. That that's when it's either gemuros and it turns parif. How do we paskin? So let us look at the Shulchan Aruch. Says the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Tzomba Ophos, in him gemuros. By the way, you should know that Tosos asks a question a few places. The Gemara says you're not to be more hola harab and machum rabba. Now let a paskin in place of your Rebbe, even to say be'atava kutcha, you can dip an egg in a sour cream dip, meaning the eggs are parif. So Tos says, give me a break. You can't say eggs are parif in front of your Rebbe. That is, that's kindergarten. That's not a hurrah to say eggs are parif. He says, no, what it means is to say that the eggs you find inside a shechted chicken, if it's a completed egg, is parif. Because that's actually a very, that's actually a little more complicated. You have to know this halacha. Not everyone knows that an egg that's completed is parif. I guess you have to know if you're Rav Yaakov or Rabbanan, etc. Okay, so l'chore, that's what all the posts assume. That when it says usher to be more halacha b'akam rabo, even k'beya tabakutcha, that you can dip eggs in milk dip, that eggs are parif, it means this case. So in any case, how do we pass? Let's look at the machaber. Based on the song of Ophos, im hein gemuros, the hainu sheishan chelbon v'chelbon, afi sheimor begidin, even though they're attached to the ovary still, as long as it's gemuros, then hareze gemura, it's still considered gemura as long as it has a white and a yellow, umot alach lebacholom, and it's parif, you can eat with milk, of lom ein lein achelmo, but if it only has the yellow, also vashem b'chelbon, you're not allowed to cook it or eat it in milk. But in any case, even fleshy eggs, if you eat them, you don't have to wait 6 hours afterwards. You can eat milk afterwards. Why is that? Because just because they're fleshy doesn't mean you have to wait 6 hours. The reason we wait 6 hours is not because we eat something fleshy. It's because meat has a very strong taste and gets stuck in your mouth, as we'll see all the details. The eggs, even when they're fleshy, they don't get stuck in your mouth. So therefore, you don't have to wait 6 hours. But they're totally fleshy. Meat or rice of fleshy, luchora. I mean, not derived, they're from birds. And they have to be treated as meat. The post can point out here, if you saw in the Beis Yosef, the parallels, there are two nafkaminas to whether the eggs are gemuros or not. If they're not yet gemuros, they're fleishik, you can't mix it with milk, and they're considered meat, you have to salt them. Once they are gemuros, they're pariv, and you don't have to salt them anymore, because once they're not meat, you don't have to salt eggs. Those are the two nafkaminas. So, how did the Machaber pasken like the Rashba? He passes like the Rashba, has to have a white and a yellow, and that is gemuros. However, everyone else disagrees. The Shach quotes three different opinions. The Shach says, L'chachila, we're no hag, like the Rashba. L'chachila, we're no hag, like the Rashba. And unless it's a totally, he says, kininkar b'shok, unless you could sell it in Rami Levi, we don't consider it gemuros, and the chachila, we wouldn't mix it with milk. What if bidi evin, you mixed it with milk? If bidi evin, you mixed it with milk, then he's willing to be somech on Rabbi Yaakov. He's willing to be somech on Rabbi Yaakov. Who passed on Rabbi Yaakov? The Reb Mill passed like Rabbi Yaakov, but he mentions many other posts like that as well. Here is the Reb Mill. Says the Reb Mill, you need Nigmar Chelmon v'Chelbon, the Nefrash Min Ha'eshkol has to have a white and a yolk and come off the ovary. And that's a real nil based on Rabbi Yaakov, based on the mainstream understanding of Urba Gidden, that it has to no longer be attached with a whatever kind of thing attaches it to the ovary. It has to be freestanding. And he assumes that comes after the white and the yellow are formed, which is in and of itself not so clear in some of these chronim. This is what the Shach Paskins Bindi Yevet. Bindi Yevet, as long as it's off the eshkol, we can rely on Rabbi Yaakov.
A question, who is Relunel going under? Is he the Chacham or Rav Yaakov? I missed that.
He's Rav Yaakov. He holds like Rav Yaakov. He passes like Rav Yaakov. And the Chiddush of the Shach is that the Beis Yosef makes it sound like only the Relunel passes like Rav Yaakov. And the Relunel is a Das Yachid, and he's not even so famous, and all the Rishonim are like the Chachamim. And the Shach says, not really true. Not all the Rishonim hold like the Chachamim. Many Rishonim hold like Rav Yaakov, so we're so much on Rav Yaakov in the Yachid. And then says the Shach, since, listen, it's only a Shiloh to draw button anyway, because chicken and milk is only draw button anyway. He says, if it's Hefzin Maruba, we can rely on Rashi and the Rush. Makom. Hefsek Meruba. If it's Hefsek Meruba, we can even rely on Rashi in the Rush. And as long as there's a chelmo and it has a yoke, that's good enough.
Is he ever relying on the
Rashi? No, the one sheet that he doesn't rely on any circumstance, he doesn't possibly like the Mechaber. The Mechaber is the one sheet that ignores the Gavri. It's not the Chachil, it's not the Yev, it's not Hefsek Meruba. It's in between those. Yeah, but it's funny. The one sheet that the Mechaber Paskin's like is not one of the three sheets as the Shach Paskin's like in different circumstances. Okay, look, part of it is a little Ashkenaz Fard, in terms of Rashi and the Rashbam, at least. As opposed to the Rashba, who was one of the pillars of Sfardic Pesach. I'll just point out that the Taz quotes in the Maharshal, and seemingly agrees with him, that he paskins like the, that you also need a Klipa Raka. He seems to assume you also need to be Nifresh Min HaEshkol. The Maharshal and the Taz paskin like this Orchas Chaim. What does he say? He says, "B'di'evet kolzman shenigmar a klipa afila b'krom lavan b'va'alukod." As long as the klipa, even if it's just a little white peel, sagi, that is good enough. That's what the Taz quotes the Maharshal, and he assumes. This is after, it's a little weird because the Achronim, the part of the problem is that the Achronim sometimes give you different impressions of which happens first, which should be a purely physical question. This is after Prisha Min HaEshkol. He assumes this after it comes off the Eshkol, then it gets the Krum Lavan. The answer probably is that maybe sometimes you have weird cases where it happens in different order. So, then you really, theoretically, if you really want to know, doctor, you go to everyone and say, are you assuming something else happened before then, and what if it didn't, but we're not going to go to that.
Right, on that point, I guess all these Yishevim have different explanations. And all these Yishevim would understand differently whether the Chum or Machmir or Yachmir.
Exactly, precisely. They argue who's the Machmir, who's the Mako. It's not clear in the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't say explicitly who's Machmir, who's Mako. Okay, I'll just point out that there's another Shita as well. What's the last Shita? So pretty much everyone has someone who paskins like him in some circumstances. What?
The Shach Hefsek Meruba, is that more or less than the Bidyevet?
The Bidyevet means even if it's not a Hefsek Meruba, it just got mixed in, it's worth $2. Hefsek Meruba means it's worth $100 or $200. Or if you're, you know, Bill Gates, if it's worth $5,000 or $5 million. Whatever. Okay, people like you and me, you know, if it's worth $100, that's absolutely, we're not so rich. Yes. No. Okay. Now, there's one last sheet there, which is the Darkei Moshe quotes a minhag. What was the minhag? The minhag was to treat it as fleshek no matter what. Here's a third sheet. Minhag against the Gemara. Okay, you're allowed to have a minhag against the Gemara? Yes. The minhag is to be more machmir than they were in the time of the Gemara. You know, I don't know why you have to do that, but all of our minhag are more machmir than the time of the Gemara. So what's the minhag? The minhag is that it is that we treat it as bisari in all circumstances. That's the minhag quoted in the Darkei Moshe. Says the Darkei Moshe, there's a minhag like that. Now, the Ramah didn't quote it here. Apparently, he thought that was not a binding minhag everywhere. Right? So he didn't go to the Shulchan Aruch. But he mentioned such a minhag. He mentioned such a minhag. So, some people say, where did that minhag come from? Some people say it came from, we just decided that people were getting so confused by all the different shitas, it's better to have a rule and just treat all eggs inside a chicken as fleishik. Other people say that everyone was always afraid to paskin anything about this because maybe their Rebbe was nearby and they didn't want to be chayv misa v'dei shemayim, and therefore none of the rabbis were ever willing to paskin that it was ever mutter, so it became a minhag to treat it as usser. So they were all afraid of the misa v'dei shemayim. They weren't afraid of basra chal, afraid of misa v'dei shemayim. So this was the Gemara's example of mor lach pnei rabbo, and a lot of people lived near the Rebbe. So everyone was afraid to paskin it. They didn't want misa v'dei shemayim, and since they didn't paskin it, the Baal Batim were machmir. After a few generations of Baal Batim being machmir, it became a minhag to be machmir. Could be. Not a crazy theory. In any case, do we hold like this or not? Says the Shach, not universally accepted minhag. What does he say? He says the shach in the end of yud. It's only in some mekomos, not for all Ashkenazim. He says no. If you're ten, have that minhag. Your ten has that minhag, but stam Ashkenazim don't have that minhag. That's why the Ramah didn't bring it down. However, the Maharshal and the Taz, Maharshal in the Taz, agreed to say no. This is minhag Ashkenaz lechatchila. Lechatchila, even if it's totally finished, we still treat it as fleshim. Okay, says the Aruch HaShulchan. Our minhag is like Maharshal and the Taz, and therefore halacha l'maisa, we paskin lechatchila more machir than the shach. Lechatchila, even if it's totally completed, we treat it as fleshim. Alts minhag, not alts any possible shot of anyone in the Gemara. Bindi Eved, we pass like the Shach. Bindi Eved is one that has white and yellow and is no longer attached to the ovary. Bindi Eved, we treat this part. And Bishasa, the Hefzik Meruva, then we can rely on Rashi, and as long as it has a full yolk, then as long as the yolk is full, like the right size, then we can be Makil. So Halacha L'maisa, if you shech the chicken and find an egg inside, you should treat it as Fleshik no matter what, even if it looks like an egg from the supermarket. That's the minimum. If you accidentally cooked it with milk, then as long as it had the yellow and the white and was no longer attached to the ovary, it's much of a b'yevet. And if you accidentally cooked it with milk and it's absent meruba, then as long as it had a full yolk, you can be makel. That's how we pass it.
That's a lot of advice that if we're going to end up passing like a minhag, which coincidentally is more masculine than both Jesus and Mishnah, why is it that we can't say in a video situation we can pass in like just video? Meaning we're more masculine than Shah. I thought that the video is just Rashi. The most video is. Oh, sorry,
we pass like the shach, except the chachilu were more machber than the shach.
So did he ever even say that Rami Lumil?
Exactly.
And then Hesed Meruba.
He'd say Rashi.
Lemaisa,
does it ever happen? Lemaisa, nowadays in a lot of countries, they actually don't sell the eggs that are found in the chickens. Meaning, it's not a rare case, as you can imagine. If you check the female chicken, of course you're going to find eggs inside. They lay eggs every day. Right, basically you're going to find one egg that's a day before being laid, another egg that's 2 days before being laid, another egg that's 3 days before being laid, et cetera, et cetera. This is very common things. But I think in the United States, they don't allow them to sell them. So it never happens. I don't know, in Eretz Yisrael, I've never seen them sell them either in the supermarkets. Right, when you go to the chicken section, you never get an egg in your chicken. They always clean out the inside first. You don't get anything in your chicken nowadays. Basically, you don't have anything fun whatsoever. What's fun? What about the, at least not in the chicken, right? All the organs that have special demon, et cetera, et cetera. Some of them you can buy separately, like livers and hearts, which are very fun, halachically. But they take everything out of the chicken nowadays. So nowadays, it doesn't really come up so much. Unfortunately, sadly. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know what it is. I have no idea why. Anyway, lemaisa, by the way, post can say, I don't know if you ever were in a chicken coop. Sometimes the chicken can actually lay an egg and it won't have the hard shell. Accidents happen. It lays an egg without a hard shell. You see it all the time. Nowadays, they throw it in the garbage because, like, the wholesaler and distributors are not going to take an egg without a shell. Right? First of all, the people will think it's not healthy and also it'll break on the way. But if you actually go to a chicken coop, you see every day you have a big chicken coop, one or two chickens are going to lay an egg without a hard shell. Often, you know, for whatever reason. So the post can write, it's someplace on the Patreon, I forget who, that's taka code, that's taka parrot. Because once it was laid, then it's parrot. This is only if you find it inside the chicken. Once it was laid, it's parrot. Okay, there's other questions that they deal with here, Astira, which we won't go over too much. They always ask, they ask the Astira from Hilchos Eiver Menachai. In Hilchos Eiver Menachai, the Machaber, the Rashba, and the Mechaber say that if you hit, often, why will a hen lay an egg that's not yet finished? If it gets scared. If it gets really scared. If you hit a hen and out pops an egg that was attached and just came off because you hit it, that's Eberman Achai. Because it's like, you knock meat off of Achai. Hold on a second. Even if it has white and yellow. So according to the Rashi and the Mechaber, if it has white and yellow, it's not part of the chicken anymore. Says the Marshal is the stira. Hakam, according to the Rashba, if it has white and yellow, but it's still attached, that's the stira. Chelmon, the chelbon, umechover le'eshkol. How come in Simon Pevav, we say it's Eber Menachai, and you can't eat it, but it's not so far afterwards. In Simon Pei Zayin, we say it's Parv. Not we, but the Rashba and the Mechaber. Right? So that is a stira in the Rashba and the Mechaber. Okay, this is a famous stira. The Marshal says he doesn't understand, it just doesn't make sense, can't be. There are many answers given, some of them based on Tosis answer a different question. Maybe Eber Menachai used to go right since for more machmir. Also, Rachal of any species that lay eggs. By definition, species that lay eggs. I shouldn't say by definition. But in general, species that lay eggs don't have milk. I think Ductal Platypus might be an exception, and like two other things whose names I forget. But in general, species that lay eggs don't have milk, in which case, since this is the rice and we're more machmir, and since this is the rabbanon, we're more makel. Or the other answer is you have to make some sort of lundish chilek between the halachos of Eber Menachai and the halachos of, or some sort of chilek between the halachos of Eber Menachai and the halachos of Bas B'chalav. And the two ways to make that lundish chilek are the shach and the taz. They each say it in their own way. Says the shach, it's Menachai, but it's not Basar Menachai. Just because something's Menachai doesn't mean it's Basar. Only Basar is Asher B'chalav. Not Dover Menachai. Not everything from Achai is Basar. For example, the Gemara Bechor says milk would have been Eber Menachai if not for Gzeres HaGasim. It doesn't mean it would have been Basar. Right? Blood might be Eber Menachai, famous for Chaim's story. We'll get to it's not in the story, but it's referenced by that story at a certain point. Not the blood. That's a different thing. Okay. The Gemara discusses whether honey is Eber Menachai, etc. So basically, the lumpish difference is that it's minhach, it's part of the chai, but it's not the basar part of the chai, it's a different part of the chai. And just as part of the chai doesn't mean it's basar. Okay, the shah says it al chalos, it's part of the chai, but it's not basar. The taz says it more, in quotes Marshal Nahavina, maybe like it doesn't have tam basar, it depends on the tam. Okay, but basically that's the lumpish way to answer it is, it is part of chai, but not basar. That's the basic answer. It's all just different variations of that answer in most of the poskim, if you want the longest answer. But we're not going to get into it too much because it's a bit of a tangent. And let's go on to Sif Vav. Okay, Sif Vav for both sides. Hama'usha ma'vushal chamitveria ain lokin alav. What if, remember, it's only the rice if you cook, and roasting and frying we already discussed. What if you cook instead? You cook mamish. You soak a piece of meat in milk, but you cook it without a fire. You don't put it on a fire. How do you cook it without putting it on a fire? So the two examples they have here are you smoke it. What does smoke it means? It means you put it high up. You make a fire on the bottom of the room. Smokehouses. If you look at old homesteads in America, they used to do this all the time. The not like they smoke in a barbecue nowadays. That's cheating. When you have smoked meat in a smokehouse nowadays, then the meat is also being cooked on a grill while it's being smoked. That's not what we mean here. What we mean here is like an old-fashioned smokehouse. I think this is how it worked. You have the stove down here, and you have the pot of basar b'chalav up here, and the heat doesn't reach. Right? It's not hot enough to cook. It's too far from the fire to cook. But the fire burns wooden grade smoke, and the smoke cooks it. So the heat of the fire doesn't reach it, but the hot smoke reaches it. That's called smoking. Or mevushal chamitveria. You cook it with hot springs, and hot springs are not necessarily cooked by a fire, certainly not cooked by a normal kind of fire. And so what if you cook it without a fire source? Says the Mechaber, ain lokin olav, you don't get malchus for an isser d'oraisa. You don't get malchus for an isser d'oraisa. Okay, the clear implication is that it's usser. Ain lokin olav means usser, but you don't get malchus when you don't raisa. Okay, what exactly is the status of these two things? Here the Gra brings a machlokus. Says the Gra, or argues rather. He doesn't bring a machlokus, he argues. He quotes this in Yerushalmi Nedarim. The Rabbanan of Caesarea asked, is smoking considered cooking for the purpose of Shabbos and Basar B'chalav? And then he quotes that there's a there's a Yerushalmi in Shabbos which says that smoking is chayev on Shabbos. So what does the Gros say? He says, we're mesupik about the status of smoking. But in Masech HaShabbos, we're poshing at the suffix, and we say that smoking is considered cooking midaraisa. So smoking is cooking midaraisa. Okay, what did the Machaber say back to him? The Machaber is not himself. He's a Rambam. What would the Rambam say back to him? The Rambam would say, no, I forgot to look in old Masech Yerushalmi. Probably not. The Rambam would say, no, in Shabbos, they're poshing is considered cooking for Shabbos purposes. That doesn't mean it's considered cooking for Basar B'Challah purposes. After all, Shabbos should have a broader definition of cooking than Basar B'Challah. Why? Because Melech Smech Shabbos Asur Torah. So whatever is a professional work should be Asur on Shabbos, even if it's not the classic kind of cooking. After all, remember, some Rishonim say Tzli is not cooking for Basar B'Challah. It's clearly cooking for Shabbos. So that's not cooking. The Grah, according to the Rechadosh, says you can make a sushto. You can extrapolate from Shabbos. Why? The Gemara Nedarim equate Shabbos and Basar B'Challah. So therefore, we now equated them. And therefore, if the Gemara in Shabbos, all your Shalmi, says Chayav, you're Chayav and Basar B'Challah also. And the Rambam, the Mechaber says no. The Gemara Nedarim equated them and made it a suffix. The Gemara in Shabbos thought they had an answer but didn't equate them. We never answer about Basar B'Challah. We only answer about Shabbos. As a matter of fact, to say the Gemara Nedarim never equated them. It just put them next to each other. That doesn't mean they're the same. So that's machlokas. Is Shabbos the same as Basar B'Challah? So let's just put Me'ushan on the board. What about Me'ushan? So the Gemara Nedarim says both Shabbos and Basar B'Challah are suffik. The Gemara in Shabbos, both Yerushalmi, says Shabbos is Asur Daraisa. Does that, or do we transfer that back? So that's machlokas. Says the Rambam and the Mechaber, he would say it's a suffik Daraisa. Notice, Ein Lokin doesn't mean it's only Rabbanan. It's at least a suffix d'oraisa. And the Prechadash and the Gra would say it's a thadai osur midoraisa. Halacha lemaisa doesn't make that much of a difference. Makes difference for Malkus. We don't have Malkus, but not as that. Lemaisa, don't do it. Treat it as an issue d'oraisa because it's at least a suffix d'oraisa. Okay, how about the next part? What about Levushal v'chami Tveria? We know Chami Tveria is discussed in a number of places all over Shas and all over. And all over Shulchan Aruch. Here, there's a bit of a machlokas. The Agra doesn't say too much. It says Kamal Shekasov B'Shabbes Koshi Isa B'Shabbes Dachmem Abbeis Apsachim Em Aleph Om Aleph. Right, if you look there, what does it say? He says there's nothing with Me'ushan. It's only Asur Midrabanan. Chami Tveria is only Asur Midrabanan. That seems to be how we pass on Shabbos. The Levush and the Prechadash and the Gras say it's only Asur Midrabanan. Let's just find ourselves a little box for Levush al Chami Tveria. Chami Tveria is any hot springs. Doesn't have to be Tveria. Says the Levush, not on our page, the Prechadash and the Gras on our page. It's only Asur Midrabanan. Okay, it doesn't say too much, but if you look at it, you see it's only Asur Midrabanan. However, in the Rambam, it sounds a little like it's more than Issur D'Rabbanan. Ein Lokin Alav. Let's say Ein Asur Min HaTorah. Maybe he thinks it's a Safek D'Oraisa. And that's what the Aruch HaShulchan says. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, and that's maybe the opinion of the Mechaber and the Rambam. Why? Because they equated to Me'ushan. Maybe it's a Safek D'Oraisa. So we're not sure if Chami Tveria is a suffix d'oraisa or only Nisid Rabbanan. I mean, there's some shash d'oraisa. It's good to be not here about it. I don't know how often it comes up. And again, the question is, what's the relationship between Hilchos and Shabbos and Basar B'Challah? Coming to doctor for Hilchos Shabbos, Chami Tveria is not Melech Smech Shabbos. It's not the normal way of cooking. But for Basar B'Challah, maybe Lamaisa, you're cooking in boiling water. What's the difference how that water was boiled? So maybe there's room to be more suffix. Okay, Halach Lamaisa, it is far from clear. Let's move on. Hamivashal Basar Mechalov. Mechalov al Bipashta so far means whey. What does whey mean? Right? Who ate whey? Right, but who ate whey?
Bodybuilder.
What? Bodybuilders nowadays, I forget, nowadays bodybuilders, they all have the whey protein, etc. When I was a kid, it was Little Miss Muffet, right?
Eating her curds and whey.
Exactly, sat in her Tuffet, eating her curds and whey. Okay, we won't go through the next part. I don't want any trigger warnings for people with arachnophobia. But what are curds and whey? When you make cheese, you apply some sort of chemical or perhaps physical, but generally chemical process to the milk, which makes the solid parts of the milk curdle and solidify. Obviously, if some parts of the milk solidify, then other parts of the milk have to become more liquid. Basically, like a lot of the real, the good chemicals in the milk solidify and curdle and start to become cheese. And the whey is what's left that's missing a lot of the good tasty molecules in the milk. That's whey. And the way you make cheese is you start this curdling process, you squeeze it on the cheesecloth, hence the name cheesecloth. Cheesecloth is like what you put your greens in the chicken soup or something like that. Because you would just put in the cheesecloth and you would twist and twist and twist and squeeze and get out all the way and leave the curds, and that's how you make cheese. Love a shout-out. Okay, whey apparently keeps the protein even though it loses some other parts, and that's why they use it for protein powder. Nowadays, whey is an ingredient to a lot of things just because all the cheese-making companies sell the whey cheap. So it's cheaper to put whey in, like, ShopRite animal crackers that are OUD, if they're really milkic. I once bought them. I looked, they don't have milk, they have whey. Why do they have whey and not milk? Not because the ShopRite animal cracker people decided it was a gourmet recipe with whey, because whey is cheaper than milk, because you get it from the cheese companies cheap. Okay, so whey are those ShopRite OUD animal crackers that I once bought, and I looked in the ingredients, they had whey and no milk. Right? It's cheaper that way. Are those flaccid or not? Is whey? Whey doesn't have a full milk taste. It has a shtickle milk taste. So, what do you say here? If you cook b'mei chalav or b'chalav mesa, milk from a dead animal, the Gemara explains, milk from a dead animal, meaning you shecht a cow. Inside your udders is still some milk that you could have nursed right then. So you shecht the cow, you cut open the udders, and you take out some milk. So that's not called chalav imo, because it's not no longer the chalav of a mother, because now it's dead. A dead animal can't be a mother. So those things are orbital of zachar, or milk of a male animal, right? Males can lactate under certain circumstances. And that's obviously not chalevimo. Oshavichal dam b'chalo, or you cook blood in milk. Blood is part of the animal, but it's not meat. Potter, be'en logan al-chalasri b'basar b'chalo. You're potter, and you don't get malchus for the achim shem basar b'chalo. Here, the potter sounds like it's only drabbanan. That's what we assume, it's only dirabbanan. Okay, you still can't eat the milk and meat part. Well, we'll get to it. Can you get this board, please? So, what do we mean by potter? Potter doesn't mean mutter. So, all the achronim are medayik from the mechaber, that potter doesn't mean mutter. Something grandma is about to say, right? The shach, it's going to be a gimel, is medayik. Potter means that it's asur drabbanan. And that's what grandma's about to say anyway. It's still asur drabbanan. So, these things are mutter midaraisa, but asur midarabbanan. So what is basa b'chalav midrabbanan? What are the examples? The first example, what was the first example? Was meichalav, basar b'meichalav, or b'chalav mesa, or b'chalav zachar, or dam b'chalav. Right, all of these, you could tell, dam is like meat, but not exactly meat. These are like milk, but not exactly classic milk, not exactly chalivim milk. So therefore, they are usher mi de rabbanan. Continuing in the Ramah, says the Ramah, the chalav zachar lo mikri chalav klal. The nafal zok de yoshal basar eino oser. Says chalav zachar is not chalav at all. And if it falls into a pot of milk, it doesn't become usher. Meaning, so Mars, I didn't put it in the first place, but a false sentence is totally mutter. About cholav mesa, or may cholav, cholav mesa, may cholav, osur amachu b'cholav atzmo. Make something trade just like cholav itself, because they're possible cholav drabbanan. But feel bit bishol yesh lesser l'chachila. What does the Ramah say? Says the Ramah. Says the Ramah. He says these two things. Adds the Ramah, that It is aser midrabanan ba'achila u'mibishol. It's aser midrabanan in achila and in bishol. However, cholov zachar mutar legamre. Again, it's the maris ayin. Don't put it in the first place. I mean, unless you have a lactating zachar in the room to show what it is. But it's not a problem at all. Here, the shach is a tema. The shach wonders, what is going on here in Sukkot Tezayin? Why did Rambam make this chiluk? If you want to say all of them are not even bas b'chol d'rabbanan, fine. If you want to say all of them are bas b'chol d'rabbanan, fine. Right? Why do they need to dam b'chol so much? I guess because, you know, no one needs dam anyway for Jews. But why should chol of zachar be worse than be better than chol of mesa? After all, chol of zachar means it's not from an aim, it's from a male. Chol of mesa is not from an aim, it's from a dead animal. But they sort of look the same. They're both cow milk, etc. So you might have said, no, the Rama thinks milk from a bull doesn't look like milk from a cow. Milk from a dead cow looks like milk from a live cow. You know, in which case, it might be looks like, not RSI. Could be confused with. Milk from a bull won't be confused with milk from a cow. But milk from a dead cow can be confused with milk from a live cow. That you might have read the Rama that way. However, the Shach is not going to read the Rama that way. Shach says can't be. So what does the Shach say? What does the Shach do? He says, no. Even Chalav Zachar is Asur and Be'achilu and Bishol Midrabana. Even that's Asur and Achilu and Bishol Midrabana. Rather, what does Rama mean? He means Chalav Adam Zachar, or sorry, the Rama means Chalav Adam Zachar is Motul Gamri. Because after all, even Chalav Adam Nekeva is Motul Gamri, except for Mar Sinai. That's a big duff of reading the Rama. Really, when the Rama said Chalav Zachar, he meant an Adam Zachar and not a Behema Zachar. It's a big duff of reading the Rambam, but of the Rama, but we pass like it. We put the Ashkenazi pass like the Shach, even though it's a duff of reading the Rambam. It's a good shot. It's a good psak. It's a different read of the Rambam, but it's a good read of the halacha. It does make sense that in halacha, it would make sense to say cholav of a bull is just as bad for your abundance as cholav of a dead cow. And therefore, the Rama's heter gomer would only apply to a human male. Even though it's a very different read of the Rambam, because that's true of a human female. Also, lemaisa, we possibly like the shot. I know it's not Pashup Shad in the Ramah, but we pass along the Shach anyway. Even if it's not Pashup Shad in the Ramah, it's Pashup Shad in the Shach.
Question, where do we see the distinction between Zerabon and Zeraisa on this? I'm not seeing that in the Ramah or the
okay, so Potter usually means that it's only Midrabana. Meaning Potter, sorry, where do we see? First, the Ramah, the Mechaber says Potter, which implies that it's still also Midrabana. And the Rama explicitly says that it's Asur, Meit Cholov is Asur, and Cholov Mesa is Asur, and it must be Darabanan, because we know explicitly more it's not Daraisa. I mean, it can't be Asur Daraisa, that's the Gemara. It can either be Mutter or Asur Darabanan. The Rama says Asur Darabanan, at least about two of these three. And the Mechaber implies Asur Darabanan by saying Potter instead of Mutter. So you put all those together, you get an Asur Darabanan. That's what the Shach does. Right, I think it's logical. Now, there's one other diok here the Shach points out, which is a big sugi that comes up a few places in halacha. Ein lokan alachi losim shem basar b'chalav. You don't get malchus for basar b'chalav. What does that imply? You don't get malchus for basar b'chalav, but you do get malchus for something else. What else would you get malchus for? What's the only one of these cases where you get malchus for something else? Of course, dam. Forget about the chalav. You get malchus for eating dam, right? So what's the diok of the Rambam and the Mechaber? The diok of the Rambam and the Mechaber is that dam shenisbashel becholav aser mida araisa misham dam. It's not aser araisa aser becholav, but it is aser araisa misham dam. It is aser araisa misham dam. Okay, now, this is the big machlokes. Forget about the cholov. Is cooked blood asur midaraisa The Gemara says cut blood is only mirabanan. Why? Because only blood that's like the blood which was thrown on those bath makes a mikdash sasa raisa. And that had to be brought. So here we have a big machlokas about dam shemishlo or shemilcho, that you salted it, because salting is like cooking. Right, so what's the status of dam shemishlo? So this is a big machlokas, or you salted it. It's a big machlokas we showed him. Rashi and the Rambam seem to imply it's asur midaraisa. All the other Rishonim seem to hold that it's asur midrabanan. How do we paskin? This is the whole sugya. We're not getting to the whole sugya now. What does the shach say? The shach says mi onan kaimalan the dam shabishul shemelcho eino elo midrabanan. Kmoshe kasafti le'el. What's the psak? The psak is the diyok of the mechaber here is that it's asur midaraisa. The shach paskins that it's only asur midrabanan. But if you look here in the Nekudas HaKesef, see there's a Nekudas, that's the shach says in the Gan Desvot. Mi onan kaimol and dachibishol shemelchu ein ol midrabanan. Moshe yusabdu le'el, sin etzama fes and kadim and beiz, mekama duchti. There's a Nekudas HaKesef here. What is the Nekudas HaKesef? So, who on this page would you associate the word Nekudas HaKesef with?
Shach.
No, I said, sorry. What I meant is, which the word, the name of which parish on this page would you associate the name of the Nekudas HaKesef with? The Torezah. Why? Because it says in Shir HaShirim, Torah, even though that's with a tough, Torah, Zahav, Naselach, in Nekudas HaKesef. Right, Nekudas HaKesef. It's just a puzzle form. So, what is the Nekudas HaKesef? The Nekudas HaKesef is mostly the Shach's reaction to the Taz. Torah, Zahav, Naselach, in Nekudas HaKesef, the Shach never read the Taz before he wrote the Shach. The Taz never read the Shach before he wrote the Taz. They each wrote without seeing their competitor. They wrote at the same time. And then they printed them, and then they each saw what the other one had to say. And the Shach decided there are a lot of bad things in the Taz. That couldn't he couldn't just, you know, he couldn't just let sit. So he wrote the Nekudas HaKesef, which is mostly the book Nekudas HaKesef, is the Shach's Hasagos and the Taz. Sometimes he'll say, you're dead wrong, like I wrote in the Shach, and here's more proof that you're wrong. Or sometimes he'll say, I didn't discuss this in the Shach, but you should know you're dead wrong. However, this Nekudas HaKesef starts with which word? What's the first word in Nekudas HaKesef on the Shach Tezvav? The Shach Sifkan Tezvav, there's a Nekudas HaKesef on it. What's before Nimshach? You don't have anything written before Nimshach? In mine it says Hagah. Yours doesn't say Hagah? Can I look? Nekudas HaKesef? Okay, sorry. Okay, in mine it says Hagah. I'm quoting yours, did also. Okay. This is a weird Nekudas HaKesef. It's a Nekudas HaKesef on a Shach. Notice your parenthesis says Shach Sifkan Tezvav. Why would the Nekudas HaKesef be on a Shach instead of on a Taz? Nekudas HaKesef is supposed to be on a Taz. So really, the Shach's son printed the Nekudas HaKesef. And when the Shach's son printed the Nekudas HaKesef, he said, I have a few things I want to add to what my father said. And so some Nekudas HaKesefs are not written by the Shach. They're the Shach's son commenting on his father. In the general rules, whatever Nekudas HaKesef is on a Shach instead of being on a Taz, it's not the Shach writing. He doesn't write on himself. It's the Shach's son writing. So here it's the Shach's son writing. And the Shach's son says that this is what my father thinks, but my father's wrong. I have a better shot. Even though usually he liked his father, meaning he liked his father. Usually he agreed with his father. In this case, he says, I have a better pshat, and says the Shach's son, right? He says, you know what? Everyone misunderstood the sugya until me. All the achronim misunderstood the sugya until me. They thought there was a machlokas rishonim. And then he goes through it. I can't go through it. I don't have time to go through with you now. There's 30 kashas on this reach. This side of my folks to be shown. 30 kashas on that side of my folks to be shown. Then they have to answer them all up, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He says, you know what? In one fell swoop, there's no machlokes to Rishonim. It was all a misunderstanding. All the Achronim until me misunderstood the Rishonim. The Rishonim never argued. They were talking about two different cases. There's no machlokes to Rishonim. He says, there was never a machlokes to Rishonim. Ah, some Rishonim say they're right, and some Rishonim say they're a button. No, you all misunderstood the Rishonim. They're talking about two different cases. What were the two different cases? What were they talking about? Dam Sheyotza Mi Osar Al Yedei Bishol Omelicha. Right? What happens if you take raw meat and you put it on the grill? The blood will come out. What happens if you're looking at a pot? The blood will also come out into the water of the pot. What happens if you salt it? The blood comes out. That is Osar Mi Drabanan Lefi Kol HaRishonim. All we showed him admit that's only us and Rabbanan, even Rashi and Rambam. But that's not what we're talking about here. Here we're talking about Dam Ben En Shebishel Omolachosom. You have Dam Ben En, you have a cup of blood. You shechted, you caught the blood in a cup, right? To bring to your vampire friend. And you decided to make it tasty, so you cooked it or salted it first. That case, it's a little weird to salt a cup of blood, but cooking makes more sense. That's the case we're going ahead. This is Asur Mida Arisa Lifi Kala Rishonim. The truth is, this is a pretty brilliant shot in the Rishonim. He says, if you take blood that never came out of an animal, you only got it out by cooking or salting. That's only Drabbanan. It's not real blood. Real blood would have flowed out. That's only Drabbanan blood. But if you have blood that flowed out and you caught in a cup and then you cooked it, it's still Asur D'oraisa. Who cares that you cooked it? So that is the Shach Sons. It's a very clever answer. It answers a lot of kashas. Halacha L'maisa, all the Achronim assume, nonetheless, that we hold like the Shach. The Achronim assume all over Yerodea that we hold like the Shach, that all cooked blood is Drabbanan, not like the brilliant answer of his son. Okay. His son's brilliant answer has some advantages, but most of the Achronim hold like the Shach, that it's Taka Machlokas Rishonim, and we possibly like most Rishonim, that it's only Drabbanan. Okay, so that's a good thing to know. It comes up a lot. Now we have this strange Rama. Why do I say it's a strange Rama? Because the Rama says it's a strange Rama in the end. Right? It's four halachos. Isaac, I need your help. Four halachos, which aren't real halachos. What do we mean by that? Let's read it inside. Says the Rama. Four chomers of Basar B'Cholim. Yesh Omer. Oh, sorry. There's one thing I meant to point out beforehand, which is Asur Midrabbanan Ba'achila Ubebishal. Hold on. Since when is Basar B'Cholim Drabbanan Asur Ubebishal? Remember, we said Basar B'Cholim Drabbanan was only Asur Achila and Mutter and Bishal. That's what I must have like the whole sin until now. So hold on here. Sorry, you have to do it again. We have a bit of a stira. Basar B'Cholim Drabbanan, says the Ramah in Sif Bav, Asur B'Bishul. Uva Achila. However, until now, in Sif Gimel, we assumed that, and Ramah didn't argue, Asur Ba'achila U'Mutter B'Bishul. Rabbi Akiva Eder is very upset about this here. Is Basar B'Cholim Drabbanan Asur B'Bishul or Mutter B'Bishul? What's pshat? Bite chicken, you're allowed to cook chicken and milk. Let's say it's a pokey, so it doesn't look bad. You're allowed to cook chicken and milk. So why aren't you allowed to cook beef in Chalav Mesa? So, answer is very clear. He doesn't like the answer, but L'chora, the pshat is like he quotes here from the, this is Rabbi Akiva Eger. Quoting the Ferris Lamosha, someplace here. Where does he quote this? the Rabbi Kiva Eger, Teferis Moshe, both of Teferis Moshe. It's Yudal from my Rabbi Kiva Eger, but it's like on the Mechaber Sifat. What's the answer? What is the Teferis Moshe answer? The Teferis Moshe gives the following answer. Says the Teferis Moshe, it's probably the truth. He says, this is a Bustachol Drabonim, that's a different species. Yeah, a different species, Bustachol Drabonim, like pork, if you hold the Zinish Drabonim, which we don't, or chicken, a different species, Bustachol Drabonim, then we're not Machbarat Mishal. Because it's so far. Here, it's the same species. Here we're doing a Bustachol Drabonim, but it's from the same species. It's cow. Cow meat with cow milk. Just it was from a male cow. Or it was away from it, from the cow milk. Or it was from a dead cow. That, or it's blood from a cow. Since it's from the same species, that's a more harmless Rabbanan to Usher and Bishul. So, however, chicken and milk is a different species that's more kalish to Rabbanan, and it's only Usher and Achila and Mutter and Bishul. Okay, that seems to be how we paskin. From the same species, Usher and Achila and Bishul, still Mutter and Hanah. I'm not beginning the sentence that everything's Mutter and Hanah. Is Usher and Achila and Bishul, Gospel called Rabbanan of a different species, is Asr Bachila and Mutter and Bishul. Okay, could be.
You say different species? Do you mean that the chicken and the milk are of different species? Or do you mean
a different species than the Torah Asrt. Chicken is not the species the Torah Asrt. But everything in Sifat is the species the Torah Asrt. It's just a weird example of that species, like milk from a zachar, or milk from a dead animal. Right? But it's from a cow. Meaning, if it's not cow, sheep, or goats, then it's only Asr Bachila, not in Bishul. If it's
what if you have goat milk and beef and cow beef?
That's Asr D'oraisa.
Chalav Mita of a goat. And
I don't mean to milk a different species. I mean, if it's not the species the Torah talked about.
Okay, fine. Okay.
If it's not the species the Torah talked about, there's only Asr Achila. If it is the species the Torah talked about, but it's a weird case, so it's not D'oraisa, then it's Asr Achila and Bishul. Okay, that's Halacha L'maisa, if it ever comes up. Okay, the Ramah here has four things that he thinks are usher, but he's not sure why. Yesh Omer, the usher lachtos ha'esh tachas g'deir shal goyim levi shem avashalem pa'amim kolo pa'amim basar. V'amechata tachas g'deir shalem boli de bishal basar b'chala. Some people say that it's usher to stoke the coals. Remember Hilchos Shabbos? You're not allowed to do shahiyah because you might stoke the coals. None of us know what stoking the coals is all about. Right, in the modern day books, it just says you can't leave uncooked food cooking on an uncovered stove when Shabbos starts because you might turn up the flame. I don't know. Why would you turn up the flame? Like, if you wanted a medium, you left it on medium. If you wanted high, you left it on high. If you wanted low, you left it on low. Okay, that's because we have gas stoves. So once upon a time, they had just fireplaces, like wood stoves. And the way it, you ever see a fireplace and it has a poker next to the fireplace, right? It's that. That like spear kind of thing that you use to chase away intruders. The original purpose was not to chase away intruders. Again, we're not going to get into the famous Maisa with I think it was Popper and Wittgenstein. I ain't shown this whole book about it. Anyone wants to know about it, I'll tell you. Karl Popper, yes. And involving a poker, very scandalous Maisa. But let's get back to Bas Bechalov. Of course, I don't know any other poppers. But the original purpose was not to threaten visiting lecturers or to scare away intruders. It was because the fire would die down, the coals would die down. You'd have to poke them to get them to burn again to keep the fire going. And that was something in the old days that was very, very necessary. You understand why Chazal made that gzeirah. It's a very common thing that you might accidentally stoke the coals. Okay, back to here. The Ramah says in Simon Kof Yud Gimel that everyone always stokes the coals under everything in a house because it's just a normal thing on a weekday, certainly for the household members to keep the fires going in the house. It's just part of being a good citizen and a good member of the household. So therefore, says the Ramah, you can't stoke the coals if you have a goyish housekeeper. The goyish housekeeper cooks. You can't stoke the coals if she put her pot on the fireplace because sometimes she cooks meat, sometimes she cooks milk. Maybe she's now cooking milk in a fleshig pot or meat in a milchig pot, etc. And therefore, when you stoke the coals, you're causing it to cook faster. When you cause it to cook faster, you're violating the Isser of Bishul Basar B'Cholov. That's the first Isser. What would you do with this? How would they wash the dishes in those days? Right? There was no running water. They would take a pot of water, boil it up, and then wash the dishes in it. What would they do with the water after they washed the dishes? They wouldn't pour it down the drain because that was a waste of good water. Not good water. Disgusting water. Because you washed your dishes in it. But it wasn't good for humans, but they would give it to the animals to drink. So it was good enough for animals to drink. So he says, don't take the boiling water you wash fleshig pots and the boiling water you wash milchig pots and mix them together and give it to your animals to drink. Because now you're mixing together hot meat and milk and it is basar b'cholov. And now you're getting hanah for basar b'cholov by giving it to your animals to drink. Third answer. Od kas v'dach. Klisha osma mayim v'chafif is arosh ein l'shamish bo. The pot where you make shampoo, you're not allowed to use for food. Why? To also some ephesal akira. One of the main ingredients in shampoo and soap in those days was ashes. I think even nowadays, I think they know ashes has some detergent in it. I'm not sure exactly. But like, if you want to make lye at home or other weird things like that, you need ashes. I'm not a bucky. Okay, so they would use ashes. And what's the problem? They would use ashes from the stove. From the wood you burned in the stove. Or a gil, so the sarif sham, basar b'cholov. But you would spill milk on your stove and spill meat on your stove. There would be milk and meat in those ashes. And therefore, there would be milk and meat in those ashes. You make shampoo out of it in the pot by cooking the ashes. Now the pot has a bli of basar b'cholov, so you can't use it for food. L'chein yis lesar, fourth chumra, gamkin l'shtamish v'nekner shal tzorn sh'beis achorif. Okay, what's a beis achorif? Beis achorif is the winter house. Doesn't mean winter house. It doesn't mean they had summer houses and winter houses and like, you know, they went up to the Catskills in the summer and back to the city in the winter. The winter house means like the room of your house that's very insulated and has a big stove where you stay in the winter when it's freezing. And of course, no one has money to heat all the rooms in your house. So there's a beis achorif. There's a tanner in the beis achorif, which is used for heating in the winter and also for cooking. And the tanner had a built-in urn, like it had a built-in compartment where you just kept water, so you always have hot water. Very convenient in that way. And he says, you're not allowed to use that water, because you also cook in that stove. So sometimes meat spritzes onto the outside of that urn part of the stove, built-in urn, and sometimes milk spritzes on the outside of that built-in urn. So now the dead built-in urn has a pli of basar b'cholov and all the water in it is treif. And the Rav, but the Evan lost because that all this is much of the Evan. If you have chachila, ain't was the only chumras bialma megla hems. Even the chachila is only chumras bialma. These are only minhagim of chumras bialma. If you're megla, you haven't lost. You can really be megla. Interestingly, if I read the Rama, I would say therefore we should all be megla. He said if you're megla, you don't lose. Lamaisely, the Chorin read the Rama is that it's still the chachila lemahadrin of Ventura should be machmir. After all, keep whatever the Rama says on the chumra. The Chorin assume therefore one should keep it. Okay. So we'll all be very machmir. So, but what is Rama saying? All these things are chumros, but may ikra din their own mutter. Now, this creates four sets of mysteries. We have to explain all these four things, why they might be usher, and why really they're mutter and it's only chumr bialma. And here it gets very, very tricky. All the achronim try to be mdaik halachos in these four cases of Rama, and it's so hard to really be mdaik halachos from them. Why? Because you never know when, like, the Rama makes a certain assumption in one of these four cases. Is that an assumption that's true, or is that something that's not true, and that's why it's only Chumra B'Yalma? Like, you need certain assumptions to get to answering these four things. How do you know if one of these four things is answered based on five things? Five assumptions. Which of those five assumptions are true? At least one of them has to be false, because it's only Chumra B'Yalma. So it's very hard to derive halacha maisa from these things, but let's try to analyze them one by one. First comes Rabbi Akiva Iger, which I would not have said at all. I'm no one to argue with Rabbi Akiva Iger, but I would not have said this at all. Says Rabbi Akiva Iger on the first case, lef oven. Sometimes they cook meat and sometimes milk, but sometimes not. It might be basar b'cholov, it might not be basar b'cholov. Are you trying to cook it? No, you're not trying to cook it. You're just trying to raise the heat in the house because it's cold. You don't want to cook the goyish housekeeper's food. It's not your right to cook the goyish housekeeper's food. That's her problem. You just want to warm up the house. So this is a classic Dovr She'eino Miskaven. You're trying to warm up the house. you are also inadvertently cooking the guy's food. And is it a psik ratio? No. It might be basum kol, it might not. Says Rabbi Kvi Eger, this is classic davar she'ina miskaving. As a matter of fact, it's classic davar she'ina miskaving. So why isn't this mutter al davar she'ina miskaving? Again, I might have answered, it is mutter al davar she'ina miskaving. It's just a chomer b'yalma. But Rabbi Kvi Eger says, no. It must be that it's really usher. The reason it's a chomer b'yalma is not because davar she'ina miskaving. So Rabbi Kivi Eger asks, why isn't this davar she'ina miskaving? And he comes up with a big chiddush that revolutionizes all of Hilchos Shabbos. What's Rabbi Kivi Eger's big chiddush that revolutionizes all of Hilchos Shabbos? He says that this is not a davar she'ina miskaving. This is what's called a psik reisha suffix psik reisha l'sha'avar. That is the big chiddush Rabbi Kivi Eger, that he's machadish right here. What does he mean? He says a davar she'ina miskaving is only when you're not sure what will happen as a result of your action. I drag a bench. I'm not sure if it will dig a furrow or not. But if you're not sure what already happened, then that's not a davar she'ina miskaving. That's a psik reisha, suffix psik reisha. Meaning, he says like this. He says, here's an example. I close the door. I don't know if by the time the door slams, there'll be a bird in there that'll get killed. That's a davar she'ina miskaving. I don't know if a bird will fly in by the time the door slams. If there's something in the doorway, I just don't know if it's a bird or a stuffed animal, and I slam the door, that's not a davar she'ina miskaving. Why? Because it's already one of them. If it's already a bird, it's a psik reisha. If it's already a stuffed animal, it's nothing. If the suffix is in the past, not in the future, that's a suffix psik reisha. Maybe it's already usher and it's a psik reisha, or maybe it's mutter. Davar she'ina miskaving is only the suffix in the future. This is a tremendous chumra in Hilchos Shabbos, as you can imagine. Anytime I'm not sure if it'll cause a malacha or not, but the reason I'm not sure is something that's already decided in the past, then that is usher because of suffix psik reisha. For example, if I open the door and I'm not sure if it'll set off the alarm or not, because I don't know if the alarm is switched on or off, I'm going to call that davar she'ina miskaving. I just want to go through the door. Inadvertently, unintentionally, I might or might not set off the alarm. Okay, that's a davar she'ina miskaving. Said Rabbi Kivi Eger, no, mimadavshach. If the alarm switch off, it's nothing. If the alarm switch on, it's a psik reisha. Therefore, it's a suffix psik reisha. And therefore, it's usher. That's a big chiddush of Rabbi Kivi Eger that he makes that chiluk. Suffix psik reisha is usher. So it's a little unclear on Rabbi Kivi. Some people take this Rabbi Kivi Eger way too far. They say every time I open a fridge and it might or might not turn on the motor, that's a suffix psik reisha. It depends where the thermostat is now. Really, then aim the davar sof. Everything, if you know all of physics, is already determined. No, except for your shrine. But everything, if you know all of physics, is already determined. Obviously, Rabbi Kivi Eger means if it could be easily already determined. If you could see that it's already determined. Not if you can't see that it's already determined. So I think you're right. Rabbi Kivi Eger's Altsef Shalavarer, what's his logic? His logic is that if there's no way to know what will happen, then the action is undefined. If there's an easy way to know what will happen, you just don't know, then the action is defined. You don't know if it's usher or mutter. That's called a suffix isser, not called davar she'ina miskaving. Okay, it's a big chiddush, because I thought the point of davar she'ina miskaving is that you don't have kavana. Who cares if nobody knows or you don't know? Either way, you don't have kavana. Meaning he's claiming the heter of davar she'ina miskaving is objective, not subjective. Okay, this might remind you of the famous Rabbi Chanan on the subject of davar she'ina miskaving, which we're not going to get into now. You could look it up. That's the big chiddush of Rabbi Kivi Eger. Where's the big chiddush of Rabbi Kivi Eger? Suffig psik reisha lisha avar, meaning the suffig is lisha avar, says Rabbi Kivi Eger here, he says it is usher because it's a suffix psik reisha, says the Taz in Hilchos Shabbos in Simen Shin Tes Zayin or something, wherever the Simen of Tzeda is, says the Taz in Orachayim Shimon Shin Tes Zayin, he says mutter, because it's a dover she'eino miskaven. What's his example? You want to close a closet, or not a closet, a box. Why? Because you have valuable diamonds that you need to lock up. There might even not be flies in the box. When you close the box, you might trap flies. Says that's perfectly fine. Dover she'eino miskaven. You might or might not trap flies. Rabbi Akiva Iger says, no, totally usher. What do you mean? There are already either flies there or not. You should check and see. So that's the machlokas. This affects many, anything that opens Shabbos, like a lot of these alarms, etc., things like that. Affects many things in Hilchos Shabbos. So, even a lot of these things, you know, let's say you have those pumps, right? You have a toilet in the basement and it's below the sewer line, so it has a pump. What happens? It can hold like 20 liters. When it gets full, it turns the pump on. So we say, Dover she'eino miskaven. Every time I flush the toilet, it might not turn the pump on. It's perfectly fine. Says Rabbi Akiva Iger, no. You can always look there. If you see it's almost up to the top, then if you flush the toilet, it's going to be a psik ratio of turning on the pump. Self-psik ratio. It's usher. I mean, there's a lot of things this can tie into. Opening the fridge. You don't know if the fridge is on Shabbos mode or not, or if you tape the button inside or whatever you do, right? Then I open the fridge. I would have said, sure, it might or might not turn the light on. Dover she'eino miskaven. But you can say no. Either someone take the button or they didn't take the button. Suffix of Gratia. Lots of nafkaminas. This is where we keep it eager. And his proof is here. Against the Taz. Why am I personally not convinced by this Rebbe Akiva Iger? There are two reasons I'm not convinced by this Rebbe Akiva Iger. Right? What are the... Number one, he's against the Taz. Okay, not the end of the world. He's allowed to argue on the Taz, right? Okay, but what are the weaknesses with Rabbi Akiva Iger's Tzach? A, maybe it's really mutter, and that's why it's a Chomer B'Yalma. You know, maybe that's why Moshe says it's really Chomer B'Yalma, and it's really mutter. Who says that it's usher? Maybe it's really mutter, it's just a Chomer B'Yalma. And it's just a Chomer B'Yalma, then you don't be so machbir. Maybe you're only machbir if you can. Maybe only the chatzila. Maybe only if it's easy. You know, he's being medayik for the Ramah that this is an Isser Me'ibra Din. No, Adraba. Maybe it's really mutter. That's why it's a Chomer B'Yalma. Maybe it's really Dover she'eino miskaven. Number two, and this is what a number of Chorlim such as the Shvisas HaShabbos and others say. The Shvisas HaShabbos. It's a Sefer Hilchos Shabbos. Written about less than 100 years ago, it's in the base medrash. But Od saying no, even if Rabbi Akiva Iger is right, he's in Yoredeya, not Hilchos Shabbos. He says maybe they say no. In Kol HaTorah Kula, it's usher. But in Hilchos Shabbos, it's mutter. Why? Why might this be usher in Kol HaTorah Kula and mutter in Hilchos Shabbos? In two words. Depends on the objective action you're doing. Then maybe your Akiva Iger's right. Taka, if it's already determined and you just didn't check, then you might be objectively doing an Isser, you might be objectively doing a Hetter, Suffolk, Lachumra. However, in Hilchos Shabbos, Melech Machshev is Usser Torah. It's only Usser if you have Machshava. And if you don't know, then you don't have Machshava. It's not Melech Machshev. Right? That's what a number of reference say back to Rabbi Akiva Iger to resolve his theory with the Taz. Halacha l'maisa, if I ran the world, I would say either Rabbi Akiva Iger is wrong even here, and that's why it's a Chomer B'Yalma, and at most it's a Chomer B'Yalma to be Machmir, but not Me'ibur Din. Or either if Rabbi Akiva Iger is right here in Yoredeya, he's wrong in Hilchos Shabbos, because from his standpoint of Shabbos, who cares if you don't know or nobody knows? If you don't know, it's not Lech Shabbos. Only in Yoredeya does it matter the objective nature of the action. In Shabbos, it matters your subjective machshava of the action. So I would have said Rabbi Akiva Iger is totally wrong, and I would have possibly against him at Hilchos Shabbos. Lemaisa, nowadays, the Mishnah Brura sounds a little like he's being a little machmir like Rabbi Akiva Iger in Hilchos Shabbos and Shin Tezayin. Lemaisa, all the posting nowadays like to be machmir like Rabbi Akiva Iger. However, Rabbi Akiva Iger is a big finish, and he's making there's a lot of weaknesses with his shot. So, A, the Mishnah Brura says that enough to be machmir like Rabbi Akiva Iger on Doraisas. On Drabbanans, even if it's a suffix, Drabbanan Lakula. So for alarms and for modern-day refrigerators, for modern day refrigerators with, you know, LED lights, which is only Drabanan. And even if they have defrosters, the defrosters that don't always go on and aren't to the Gatsolitismo, et cetera. Lamaisa, we can be Mako. Even in the Raisa, you know, there's definitely room to be Mako when you're really stuck against Rabbi Akiva Eiger, because Rabbi Akiva Eiger is really a big fish, and there's a lot of time that's against him. And even there's Shabur and Simichin Tessayan, you know, it really sounds more like he leans against Rabbi Akiva Eiger. He's just afraid to be Mako. So, okay, we should be Mako Stam, but I think there's a lot of room to be Mako when necessary. Okay, so no, but like, you know, if someone takes the button or not, just ask all the people, right? It's not like it's something which is hidden from human eyes. Okay, but I don't know. I wouldn't say face of F. I don't know if I'd say F Shalavara as much as like it should. It's something that you could normally see. You know, just because you forgot, I don't know if that's right. Eager's point is, it's not something that you need to do. You need to all of a sudden use a supercomputer to crunch calculations to figure out using all of physics and, you know, and chemistry. It's something which people should normally know, even if you forgot. I wouldn't say it's an actual environment. It's the kind of thing which you should know, which you would normally know. Okay. But I think for sure I wouldn't apply to Rabbi Eiger if it was like, it's already determined, but like someplace no one can ever see anything deep in a computer or deep inside a machine that you can't take apart, etc. You know, if you look at the exact way this piece of metal is in the thermostat, you could see, that's not Rabbi Eiger. Rabbi Eiger is something that people can normally know. What? He applies it right here to Hilchos Shabbos.
Oh, yeah.
Right here he applies to Hilchos Shabbos. Because he says that the Taz is Mekel in Hilchos Shabbos. And he says, he says, but according to the Taz, it is different. And he seems to imply that he's arguing with the Taz. So it seems pretty clear that he thinks he's arguing with the Taz. That's on the Mishnah Berurah, everyone understands it. Okay, Rabosai, we didn't get through the rest of this. Ramah, we're going to have to quickly go over it in Mirtz Hashem next time. What are we going to talk about in the next year? In the next year, we are going to, you know, even if we have to, you know, do a few things a little more quickly, finish this simon. At the end of the simon, we're going to bring in a lot of things from future simonim. So we'll just try to hop it the best we can. And, you know, if we can get it down 100%, great. And if not, that's also great. What I want to do is give out, I guess I won't only give out, I'll also email out, an article. The end of the simon ties into the famous Gelton controversy. Everyone knows the big hoax about Gelton. Everyone remember when we were Shana Aleph, all our Rebbeim warned us against even gelatin in Israel. So the famous Gelton controversy. No, when you were Shana Aleph, your Rebbeim didn't warn you against even gelatin?
We had that.
What? Okay, what can I do?
I heard Spartan or Mako.
Look, the Rabbanon in Israel was always Mako. Until recently, they became a little more Machmir. My friend, who's the chief rabbi of Tenuva, I think actually managed to gel out of all of Tenuva. But once he does that, everyone else is going to have to follow suit. The non-Mahadran marshmallows that when I made Aliyah were made of gelatin are now still non-Mahadran. I don't know why, but they're not made of gelatin anymore. So you're right. It's not as big a deal as it once was. Basically, the anti-gelatin forces won. What I want to discuss next time is whether they're right. Did they win the tzedek, or did they win even though they were wrong? Well, I will Xerox and put in the box, or I will send on the email for when you finish this simon an article by one of the greatest halacha writers in America. No, Rabbi Herschel Schefter doesn't write halacha articles. He writes lumdus articles.
Rabbi Bleich.
Rabbi Bleich is one of the greatest halacha writers in America, maybe. But I meant someone who's a friend of mine, not a rebbe of mine, but Rabbi Jachter, Rabbi Howie Jachter. Rabbi Bleich and I was a very close Talmud of Rabbi Bleich in YU, in Smicha, which was not easy to do because right? Life is a real intellectual, and he tries as hard as he can to be a Rosh Hashiva in YU, but not to spend any time at the Talmidim because it takes away from his learning, learning of Torah and Mada and everything in the world. But anyway, I was close to Rabbi Leif back in my smicha days nonetheless, which is a very valuable experience. But right now I want to send you an email article, email you an article from the RJJ Journal where I chapter with a very nice summary of the Chilton controversy. So we'll finish the simon. When you finish the simon, work on this Rabbi Jachter article, and you know, go into it however much you want. Obviously, if you look at everything in footnotes, it'll take you a long time. And we'll pick up Amir Tzashem next time. If anyone has any questions, now's still a great time. What? The way so far the Maskana is that it's Milchik Bid Rabbana. Because way is Rabbana. We'll see that we're actually more Machra than that in Sifches. That we are Choshish that way is actually Go Raisa. We are Choshish that way is actually Go Raisa. Halach Lamaisa. But we'll get to that soon enough.
If it were just Rabbana, would you be able to eat Milchik Bid Rabbana after eating Basar within 6 hours?
No. Same as you can't eat milk within 6 hours, within in less than 6 hours after chicken, right? So no. He's like, but Drabana wouldn't help you terribly much. It wouldn't make that much of a difference if it was only Drabana. The only difference it would make is, let's say you have a Suffy case. You know, you accidentally put some whey powder into your cholent, and you're not sure if it was more or less than a 60th and whatever. You know, these weird cases. But it wouldn't really make that much of a difference. Or Hana would make a difference. Let's say I bought dog food. By the way, I checked all the dog food in Rami Levy. And none of it had beef. It was amazing. I take it back. I checked all the dog food around me lately, and it didn't have milk or any milky products. I don't know if that's only, it might be Dafka for Israel. Because in America, once I checked, a long time ago, it was different. So I don't know if it changed in the last 20 years or Israel was different. Yeah, but they could choose which brands to import. Anyway, I checked like 6 dog foods around me lately. I don't know what my friends thought when they saw me shopping the dog food around me lately. You know, the people who knew me said, since when does Bednarsh have a dog? You know, that's not Bednarsh at all. People who didn't know me said, why in the middle of Corona is someone touching all the dog food and not buying it? Like, why does he want to give us Corona? But nonetheless, I managed to escape with my life. After checking in the dog food from Rami Levy, Taka, none of them had milk. So that was great. If so, then wonderful. But I wonder what it's like in other places. Wherever I go, I'm going to check the dog food, and I'll let you know as the year progresses what I find out. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is, you know. Okay, any other questions? Then it's Gevaldik. Then it's wonderful. Okay, then I'll wish everyone an amazing, great day, and I'm looking forward to everyone being in the Beit Midrash. Correct. I was really looking for